And still our hearts in the Lord's presence as we come before Him tonight in the closing moments of the meeting and to His Word. Let's pray. Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on a vitally important question. You'll find it here in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The Word of God has many vital questions. From the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, right through to the book of the Revelation in the New Testament, there are some serious and solemn and sobering questions searching the very hearts of men and women. It probes deep into our hearts even tonight. When God came into the garden, you remember in Genesis chapter 3, in the cool of the day, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And again in Genesis chapter 4, there are a series of questions asked of Cain, one of which searched him out as regard to his guilt concerning his brother. Where is Abel thy brother? Vital question. Searching questions tonight. And here we have one asked by the Roman governor to the crowd who were baying for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate asked this question, and he answered it wrongly and brought eternal ruin and infamy down upon his own head. I trust that many here in this service tonight will answer it rightly and bring to themselves eternal life, eternal joy, and eternal glory. That question is the most important question that any man ever asks or answer. For if you do the right thing with Jesus Christ, my friend tonight, you will get everything that is worth having for time and for eternity. But if you do that which is wrong with Jesus Christ, you will lose everything that is worth having for time and for eternity. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? As we look at this question, we look at the man who asked the question. And there are important things that we want to notice concerning him tonight. First of all, I want you to see the perplexity of this man. He said, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He was perplexed in his mind as to what to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He found no fault in him. His mind was to release him. He found no cause of death in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that for envy they had delivered him, according to verse 18. The governor marveled greatly when Jesus answered nothing to the many accusations that they made against him in verse 14. Whether he should release Christ or deliver him to the people to be crucified. Barabbas or Christ? That was the great decision that had to be made. And maybe you are perplexed as to what you should do with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Whether to receive Him, whether to reject Him, whether to accept Him, or whether to refuse Him. And you cannot make up your mind tonight. You are filled with perplexity in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the person of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was seen by Pilate here. The faultless, flawless, crimeless, spotless, sinless Son of God. You remember the dying thief who looked upon Christ and he said concerning Him to his fellow compatriot, "This man hath done nothing amiss." You know, tonight as you look at the Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture, you know that He is only worthy of commendation and not of condemnation. But the question is, will you receive Him tonight into your heart and life? Or will you continue like Pilate and these people to reject the Son of God? You see, they saw the person of Christ. He not only saw the person of Christ, but he seen the power of Christ. The power of His words. The power of His works. The miracles that He performed. Will you turn away from His power, as Pilate did? He could have known Christ's saving power in his life. But like the reviling, rejecting thief who was within reach of the Son of God, he refused Him. And he was lost. And I put it to you tonight solemnly that if you refuse Christ, you too will be lost in a Christless eternity. He was perplexed as to the person of Christ. He was perplexed about the power of Christ. But I suggest to you further, he was perplexed as to the purpose of Christ. Christ had come to suffer. He had come to save. This man had no understanding of these things. He didn't see it. He didn't understand it. He couldn't grasp it. The Bible says the God of this world, who is Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And here's a man whose understanding was darkened. He was like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, who came to Jesus by night. But may your eyes be opened in this service tonight and within hearing of this service, that you might see the great purpose of Christ, to save sinners. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, such as you and I, men and women, boys and girls of all colors and classes and creeds. He came to save. He came to save His people from their sins. And He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for Him. The perplexity of this man. I want you to see, secondly, tonight, the problem for this man. You see, this man had a problem here. He was concerned about his position, for one thing. He was the Roman governor. And if he didn't do what his masters wanted, his position would be in jeopardy. He could lose his job and perhaps even lose his life. And he was fearful. The Bible tells us tonight, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Are you ensnared by this fear of man tonight? You know that you should do the right thing by Jesus Christ. In other words, you know that you should accept Him. But you're afraid you might lose your position in the family, in the workplace, in the community where you live, in the circle and company in which you reside. You say, preacher, if I took Christ, I would lose my job. I would lose my influence in the circle of my family and friends. So you're prepared, like Pilate, for the sake of position, to turn away from Christ, to do the cowardly thing, and not to be a man, and to stand up and identify with Jesus Christ tonight. He was concerned about his position. But then I suggest to you, secondly, he was concerned about his popularity. You see, he didn't want to become unpopular. And no one wants to be unpopular. It's an easy thing to swim with the tide, isn't it? To be carried by the wind in the direction in which the wind is blowing. It would be a most unpopular thing for Pilate to side with Jesus Christ, to go against the multitude who demanded him to be crucified. And here's Pilate in the eye of the storm. Is it not true that you don't want to be unpopular in your family? You don't want to be unpopular among your friends? Perhaps in the school or place where you are? In work? Perhaps among those that you have recreation with or play sport with? You want to go with the flow, as it were. And Pilate wanted to go with the flow. He wanted to be popular, therefore he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be popular, my friend, you will do the same. But in doing so, you will lose your soul in everlasting hell. Because that's what my Bible teaches. And that is such a loss that nothing can restore. He had a problem about his position. He had a problem about his popularity. And the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And he was concerned about the personal choice he must now make. What shall I do, said Pilate, with Jesus which is called Christ? It was a matter for him personally. He had to make the decision. Maybe there were other things he could delegate to others. He could say to this man or that person, do this, and he would have done it. But not this one. It was down to him. What shall I do then with Jesus? You must decide for Christ tonight. No one else can decide for you. Oh, some men, they have these big decisions to the wife. They say, oh, the wife will sort that one out. And some women leave it to their husbands and say, oh, my husband will sort that out. And some children leave these things to their parents and say, my parents will sort that out. But my friend, you must decide personally for yourself about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a matter for anybody else in this meeting. It's a matter for you tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus? What are you going to do with Christ tonight in this service? You'll do one of two things. You'll either accept Him or reject Him. I trust you'll do the former tonight. You'll accept Him as your own and personal Savior. I want you to see thirdly tonight the popular opinion expressed of this man. The Bible tells us here in verse 22 of our text,
What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. It wasn't just some of them or most of them, but all of them. The overwhelming majority of the multitude said to Pilate concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be crucified. He was being pressurized. It wasn't just the lobbying of one or two, but it was the whole crowd. The whole crowd. He was influenced by the crowd. Are you going to be influenced by the crowd tonight? The tide of public opinion in this world is against Christ. The secularists of this world, the atheists of this world, Dawkins and those of his ilk are against Jesus Christ. Even the mention of Jesus Christ raises the ire of these people. Oh, the hatred of man against the Lord Jesus Christ is intensifying in this day and age in which we live.
But my friend tonight, are you going to go with that crowd to hell? Because that's where they're going. Are you going to take your stand with Jesus Christ tonight? They had already expressed the opinion that they would rather have Barabbas released than Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20 and 21. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And so they would rather have had this robber than the Redeemer. And there we have the attitude of those who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no time for the Lord Jesus. And Pilate was influenced by these people, the religious leaders of his day. He didn't want to upset these people. He wanted to stay on the right side of them. And so he was prepared to offend Christ so as not to offend them. What a weak individual Pilate was. And maybe you're just as weak as Pilate tonight. You'd rather have anyone but Christ. You'd rather have anything but Christ. If the truth be told, you have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a dreadful end awaits you tonight. If you die as you are in your sin. Because the Lord said, if you die in your sin where I am, you cannot be. You cannot be. You won't be with Christ, friend. If you die in your sin, you'll be lost in hell if you die in your sin. That's what my Bible says to me. Oh, that you might pay heed to it. They said, let him be crucified. That was the popular opinion that was expressed to Pilate. But I want you to see, fourthly, the proclamation by this man concerning Christ. It was one of rejection because the people desired that Jesus should be destroyed, verse 20. And the Bible tells us that he delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered Jesus to their will. This man went along with what they wanted. Verse 26, if you read there, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This man was weak, as we've said. He wasn't prepared to stand up against the people. Many today are so like Pilate, not prepared in any way to stand up for Christ. They sink beneath the pressure. They give in to the crowd. Oh, the folly of this, my friend. It was that one thing that was ruinous for this man. Pilate was ruinous because he refused, was ruined because he refused Christ.
He failed to take a stand for the Lord, and so it will be with you. Ruin awaits every Christ rejecter. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Pilate lost his soul, my friend. What about you tonight? Before another day goes, won't you today get right with God? Receive Christ as your Savior. You know, there's a great divide in this meeting tonight. And of Jesus Christ, it was written, there was a division because of Him. And He divides man's destiny. All deserved hell, but He brought life and immortality to light. And leading many sons to glory. Heaven instead of hell. He has divided time in the reckoning of many countries into B.C. and A.D. He divides the human race into two classes. Those that are in Christ and those that are in Adam. And when He was upon earth, there was a division among the Jews as to His person, His word, and His works. But you will know if you have traveled in those regions that on a mountain in the Rockies in Canada, there's a watershed. An arch of twigs has been erected there with the words plainly wrought on the rustic structure, the Great Divide. The Great Divide. Drops of rain falling in the same shower divide there. Some joining a stream that becomes a mighty river and flows into the Atlantic Ocean. Others falling in the other direction in another stream that flows into the Pacific Ocean. Though they fall in the same shower of rain. Their destinies are hundreds of miles apart. And so it is in families, in classes, in school, in neighborhoods, in places of business. Christ is the great divide. And the destiny of men for glory or despair is determined by their attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with Christ?
I remember as a lad of 11, just up the road here, I could take you to the very house that's still standing, 153 Ravenhill Road. And that house up there in the attic, I came to Christ as a lad. All those years ago, not tell you many years. You count up the age. Some of you know it already anyway, probably. You've worked it out. But all those years, the Lord has kept me. A lad of 11, I came to Christ in that room, on this very road. And friend, I never forgot it. My destiny was sealed that night. 15th of January, 1969. You've got it now anyway, haven't you? When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, oh, that you might come to Him tonight. And He will give you rest. Leave your sin tonight. Leave the world tonight. Leave all the things of this world behind. And come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I pray that you'll accept Him tonight. I pray that you'll embrace Him tonight. You'll trust Him as your Savior. I went to school down the road there in Park Parade. Many famous people went to school there. I wasn't one of them. But you know, in the class where I was, there was a great divide. I was saved then. came to this church during those years as well. But years later, I went into preach in the prison, in the Mayor's prison. And I thought I was back in the school class in Park Parkrade. A lot of those guys were sitting there. And I was preaching to them. And they remembered me. Some of them used to sit here on a Sunday night. Some of them used to sit in this church. And sad to say, they got mixed up with the wrong people. They ended up in prison. A great divide, friend. Oh, I pray tonight you'll not be on the wrong side of that. That you'll be found in Christ and accept Him as your Savior. Would you do so tonight? Let us pray. Father, we pray that Thou wilt indelibly write upon every heart the truth of Thy Word. Our prayer is tonight, O God, that Thou wilt speak to those that know Thee not and lead them to Christ tonight. That they may turn while the Savior in mercy is calling. Steer for the harbor bright. And trust in Christ this night. For Jesus' sake. Amen.